hymns, when I first heard it, I didn't actually think that much religiously, but more of a celebration, really, of music. Was that the idea behind it as well?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really an intention to make a religious work of art. It was more just, you know, it was more about celebrating what it is that I find inspiring about life, or that I find sacred. You know, I'm not a religious person, although I did have a religious upbringing. But it's not, you know, but it's not something that I subscribe to. So it was, yeah, it was really a challenge for me to explore what it is that I found beautiful about life.
You know, when I usually prep interviews, the first thing that I do is I close my eyes and listen to the album before I do anything else. And then I write down the first three or four things that pop into my head when I start listening to it. And what I kind of found out about this album, or what struck me on this album, was it was kind of like a story. It started with your probably your celebrating music, religious thing, like, you know, you can heal, or you can heal me, and the love from within. And then it went into this wonderful imagery of love. Oh. Where did the idea, I mean, like, Fortress, wow. Where did the idea to that come from?
I guess the idea for that, I don't know where it came from per se, but I know that, you know, talking about on the record, talking about all these, you know, physical things that I, you know, that inspire me, you know, like nature or the moon or the sun, or just or feeling connected to the earth. I felt it was important to have something that spoke of desire and sex, you know, because it was. Because that's, again, something that is very important to me in my life. And I just wanted to capture that that moment of intimacy. I wanted something that spoke of intimacy. You know?
It could have very well worked in if you had shown, like, that song as a soundtrack to an exhibition for Rambo or Verlaine or something.
Oh, no. Well, it's funny you say that, because I always, you know, for me, when I'm listening to music, I always get, like, a very visual... I get a very visual scene in my head, you know, I don't know, and I guess I'm, you know, I guess the act of making the record is trying to make something that, you know, that comes out of the speakers that matches what you're seeing in your head, if that makes sense. So that there's a lot of visualization.
Have you ever read Les Fleurs du Mal by Charles Baudelaire? Which is the flower leaves. It's Baudelaire is a French poet, and his whole imagery is about celebrating life and how, you know, how Eros comes into it and how sex comes into it. And that album very much reminded me of that.
I haven't read any Baudelaire, but I do, you know, I do understand the idea of Eros and Thanatos and how they're important forces.
As an Egyptian, I have to kind of I grew up with kind of pharaonic mythology and the moon and the sun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and how the moon messenger, carrying the message of love, and the sun carrying the wind, and how you can combine the four elements to carry your message of love all over the world or to a certain person.
It's funny. It's interesting to speak to you about this, because I was just saying to a friend like a few days ago that I find that the moon is probably my I think I like it more than the sun. I think full moons, they move me in a way that it's hard to kind of qualify in words. But I mean, I love the sun. It's a source of life, but I think there's something powerful about just being outdoors with the moon shining. It's a very kind of loving feeling.
She's a guide. She just kind of watches over us all the time. That's what, like, pharaonic mythologies and also Celtic mythologies are very much about that, because the moon is a messenger. At the same time, the moon is that, especially for female, it guides us, has done all over the years.
It's funny, because that was something else that I wanted to try and tap into with the record, was this love of nature personified as a woman. I refer a lot to, you know, in the God Vibration, in the God Vibration, it's the idea that I guess nature is a force, is a feminine force, and my true name I guess again, it's a love song to like, I guess, the cosmos, or to, I don't know. It's hard talking about all of this stuff because you feel like you're kind of out. You know, you feel like, you know, because you're working on instinct and intuition, and you know, I don't know so much. You know, I don't. It's interesting for you to tell me about this mythology, but I was only going on my gut feelings, and I always feel that nature would be a woman. It wouldn't be a masculine form. It would be sensual.
Yes.
And I wanted to somehow honour that with the record, because you know, having had a Christian upbringing, but you know, not, I guess, embracing those ideas, but definitely understanding that there is a spiritual, that I have a spiritual dimension, but knowing that that isn't the language that is for me, I feel working out what it is I understand of the world and why we're here, and I don't have all the answers, but I guess this record was an attempt to explore.
I think Love Within says it very well, where you say, you know, I want to pray like this and I want to do like this, and I think that song is, as an opener, it really explains where you want to go.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
And let's talk a bit of music. You kind of, I mean, over the last few years, you've played a lot with electronic stuff, and you're still playing with it, but you're going back slightly to the old guitar again. Where did the idea to that come from?
Well, that's not true. I guess I've been in love and fallen out of love with the guitar. It's, you know, it's the instrument that I'm most competent on, so it's primarily the instrument that I used to compose, although I have started writing with the piano, which is like a whole new world for me. But, you know, I think I'm very lucky in my band, because Russell, my guitar player, he's a real whiz kid, and he's obsessed with making his guitar sound like nothing you've ever heard before. So he's always pushing himself for other kind of sonic textures. And, you know, I think people will think when they hear the record that it's all kind of synthesizers and stuff, but it isn't. You know, like, I don't think there's any synths. I think there are maybe in places backing things up, but the most direct sounds, like the main sounds, are all coming from Russell's guitar. Mm. I'm actually playing a lot less guitar this time around, and it's been good for me because it's meant that I can focus just on my voice and my, you know, and performing it in that way. You know, it's, you know, it can be, you know, it's, it can, if you're doing two things at once, if you're playing the guitar and singing, you're maybe not giving your full attention to either. So I quite like the feeling of just singing.
I like your voice, because you know, it's for the first time where your lyrics are very, very clear and outspoken, while a lot of the other records, I felt the music was more on the fourth.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing that I was kind of adamant about with this record, was that, you know, previously in the past, you know, when we were kind of writing music together, it, you know, we between the four of us compose this instrumental kind of passage of music, and then I would take it away and then add vocals afterwards. Mm-hmm. But with this record, but I didn't really like that process, because I always felt like the lyrics were like an afterthought, you know, and they were kind of being made to fit into a pre-existing kind of shape. And I, with this record, I wanted the lyrics and the imagery to be right at the start of the process. I wanted that to inspire where we took the music, rather than the other way around.
And it's become like this picture, like a whole. You know, I've read the other day, I read a book by Somerset Maugham, and it's the theory behind it was that beauty itself is boring. I love that idea, because beauty is boring. It becomes interesting when you can start questioning the edges, and that's what I kind of found with this album, because it's edgy. There's more than just the old, you know, just electronics or just guitars. It's dancey and it's got the lyrics, and there's so many layers on this album. Was that an intention?
I mean, I think we've always tried to make music that was layered, that maybe unfolded itself the more and more you listen to it, because that's how I like to listen to records. You know, I like to put my headphones on and sit in the dark and just be transported somewhere else. So it was always important for us to make a record that was more 3D than just 2D. I don't know. It doesn't feel so different to me. I think maybe for our last record was, we were going for something maybe hard, kind of a bit more kind of surface and kind of harder, but certainly Intimacy and A Weekend in the City and Silent Alarm, they were always kind of bigger than the way we would perform them. The recordings were always bigger than the performances. There was always a lot more there.
Now, I think you're the first person I know who's written a song about exes.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Because I don't know. I think that, like, you know, my partner really hates that song, and won't let me play it in the house. I think they think it's something that it's not. You know, and the intention really for me with that song was to acknowledge the people in the past that you've hurt and you've done wrong, and to and try to, you know, just try to, like, apologise and move on from that, because, you know, because if you don't kind of close those wounds, they can stay with you for life. And I don't know, I guess where I am now in my life, I want to maybe draw a line under where I am now and where I was.
I wasn't aware that, you know, I don't know whether boys are like girls. I think girls are like more kind of, you know, if my ex-boyfriend wrote that about me, I'd go, you know, what on earth? But I don't know about men. I have no idea. I mean, maybe men are different, but...
Well, you know, I am a gay boy, so I'm probably slightly more sensitive in some respects than I don't know, heterosexual men. I feel that... I can still be selfish, and I can still be not such a nice lover, or not such a good friend. I don't think that is specific on what sexuality you are, but I felt like I wanted to acknowledge with that song where I'd been and where I am now. I guess I have to flip it around. If, you know, if he'd written a song or made a work of art, there was once he had a portrait, like a previous boyfriend had made a portrait of him, and it was hanging in his flat when we met, but when we moved in together, it felt inappropriate to hang it in the house that we were living in together, so that, I guess, is an example of, I don't know, I guess that's an example of on him trying to honour us as a, you know, as a unit, and not have any references to previous loves, which I think makes sense. I guess my job though is a difficult one, and he's probably got to get used to the fact that I share a lot of what is going on internally with the world, because it's what I do as a songwriter. So maybe it makes more sense for him not to just listen to anything that I do.
Which
is fine, because he doesn't really like the sort of music that I make. Anyway, he's not really into like indie rock music, so it's fine. I like the fact that he's not into it, because it means that, you know, it means that that isn't part of our relationship. It's not something
you can argue about.
Yeah, it's not something we can argue about, and it's not something that drew him to me, which you have to be cautious about in this line of work. Absolutely. That, you know, some people might not have the best intentions when they want to be close to you. I mean, I think it's, you know, there's an element, you know, I think there's an element of of that, and you just have to try and, but I, you just have to try and take people on face, you know, on a kind of face value. And I think I've got quite a good, I think I've got quite a good inbuilt bullshit detector when it comes to meeting new people. So I mean, you know, so I don't, and I don't have many people. I don't have many people in my inner circle, because, and I don't need to, you know. Luckily, the people that are there are the people that I love and I trust. So.
Now, finally, what I mean, after, there were a couple of years, obviously, between yeah. now. What? I mean, was there a time when you thought, okay, I don't think this is going to last? I think, you know, especially after the solo trip and all that. Was there a time where you thought?
I mean, I don't think there was a time that I thought it wasn't going to last. I think the only time I felt that I didn't want to actually do this anymore was when we were touring for our fourth record in 2013, and we'd had like a break in 2010, like a year break, but, and when we got back together, you know, everything started in a positive place, but it quickly moved to a place, you know, it kind of quickly moved to quite a frosty place. And I realised when we were touring in 2013 that this was exactly the same as how I felt in 2007 and 2008 and 2009. So this is probably what it was always going to be like if I, you know, this is what it was always going to be like. And I was asking myself, is this what I wanted with my life? You know, I didn't need to do this. You know, we were all, you know, we're all very lucky that we've been, you know, that we've been successful. So we don't need to, you know, it's, you know, it's not like I needed to do this. And I did think that actually at the end of this touring cycle, I was going to walk away and do something else. But then we parted ways with our drummer, and it was like, you know, and I mean, and then we got another, and then we got like a someone to fill in for the drums, like this wonderful girl called Sarah, and it was like suddenly like a grey cloud had been lifted, and I felt that, yeah, I you know, I like this life, and I want to carry on with this, you know, I like being creative and sharing it with people, and now that we've had a change of personnel, I realise that that is what the issue was, not the act of doing this. So I realised quite quickly that, yeah, I wanted to carry on and make more music.